of it. You don't want them to keep coming back saying, that was nice, but I just added, tried this new version, it doesn't work anymore. So the modularity is important for everybody, for the vendors, for the users, for anyone who wants to modify Linux or sell modified versions of Linux. Something which you're actually encouraged to do. Next thing is that every Linux kernel you look at has more and more drivers. If you compare it with most commercial Unixes, Linux has fast array, more support. Until recently, this didn't matter. If you buy an HP UX machine, you get an HP hardware, and HP UX supports everything that comes in your HP UX machine. Similar with an IBM or with the Spark machines. If you buy a PC and try and run Solaris on it, on a PC, you will find there are very large numbers of extremely interesting looking cards you cannot run under Solaris. Solaris on x86 doesn't support television cards, for example, or radio cards. Linux does. This is becoming significant now because you can buy UltraSparks. I believe you can buy HP UX machines now too, which have PCI bus. So if you're running Linux, you can take an off-the-shelf television card, you can stick it in your UltraSparks server with 12 processors if you like, and you can watch television on it. And it works. So we have really good, really varied device support. We're nowhere near the scale of device support in Windows 95. But by Unix standards, we have very good device support. And it does mean that you can put cheap cards in things like PCI UltraSparks. You can go to Sun and say, I'm sorry, how much is that Ethernet card? And then you can go down to the local computer shop. You can buy an NE2000 clone, and you can stick it in your UltraSpark, and you can run Linux on it. It's whether you should is another matter, but you can. Something else which is definitely beginning to change is the number of drivers being written, at least initially, by commercial vendors. If you go back 2 years, there were maybe 4 or 5 device drivers in a Linux kernel that were actually written by the people who made the hardware. The 1 or 2 companies like Cyclades stood out because they provided Linux drivers. The situation now is that even big companies, even 3Com, and if they got through to them, it must be getting through. Sorry, I used to work for them. Intel, people like that, are beginning to contribute real drivers. 3Com are going to be writing their own driver for their next cards, and they will contribute it to the Linux community, who will then probably in future improve it, maintain it. So the big vendors are now starting to say, Linux matters. AMI, for example, wrote drivers for the AMI Mega RAID. It's one of the big RAID controllers. ICP Vortex, another RAID controller vendor, provided drivers. Distributed Processing Technology, DPT, again, RAID drivers, they're providing their own drivers. This is mostly high-end hardware. These are the people who want Linux supported by their hardware because there are now big databases on Linux, big compute clusters on Linux, and they know often that the users won't write drivers. The average user isn't going to write a driver for a £5,000 RAID controller. The average user doesn't have such a controller. So in these cases, the vendors are effectively funding the development of the Linux kernel and pushing it in the direction they want it to go, while at the same time the users are writing device drivers for things the vendors don't care about. So it's becoming more of a mix. I think that goes with this is trying to teach commercial vendors about free software. It is really, really hard. These people are so used to the existing model where you write a device driver, you write it from scratch, you definitely do not look at competitors' code. and you test it, and only when it is completely tested, it is definitely working, it is perfect, do you release it. The Linux model is completely the reverse. You are encouraged to look for equivalent drivers in the kernel, to modify them, to make them support your card. It gives us quality, because the code you are modifying may well have been working faultlessly with the other card for 2 years. So you don't introduce new bugs by creating new code you don't need to. Linux is, it's about reuse. Linux tries to reuse everything it can. Commercial vendors don't understand what Eric Raymond called release early, release often. That's to say, in the Linux environment for the development kernels, the best thing you can ever do is to make code available. Because if you put out a version of a device driver, and the comments say something like, tested with one hard disk, seems to crash with two, it's a fair bet that somebody with two hard disks will mail you back saying, because of this, with a patch or an explanation. You will also get feedback from people saying, why did you do it this way? This code would be cleaner, this code would be nicer. There are a lot of people who just read the kernel tree and look to poke small holes in it. I get patches from people who do nothing but check the spelling. They like it. It's their contribution. And it keeps them happy. And it keeps us happy. And it makes the code easier to read. So there's this idea of just do it, just release it, fix the bugs as they come up, let everybody else help you fix the bugs. It's very foreign to most software developers. Well, we try and teach them. It's beginning to sink in with some vendors. One vendor whose name I won't mention was talking to me about putting a proposal together to write a driver for some piece of hardware. While they were putting the proposal together, I wrote the driver. We do sometimes have this problem. Okay, this is a quick look at the future, and it will be a quick look because this little piece of paper arrived. Things that we are trying to work on, at least notionally, for 2.3. Linux doesn't have a roadmap designed by marketing people. We sort of make it up as we go along. It's things that people need, and more importantly, things that people need that somebody has already written. So the things we're looking at for the next development release, and thus eventually a year, maybe a year and a half, the next production release of Linux, are merging some of the ports. There are several Linux ports, notably the Intel and other platform ARM chips and the 68000 from Motorola, which are complete functional Linux systems, but pieces of the kernel code have not been merged to the mainstream yet. Obviously, it's desirable that these become part of the main code. Another thing long outstanding is support for ATM networks, although it appears that the code has been under development sufficiently long that ATM has come and mostly gone again. And DECnet. I'm not quite sure why somebody wrote a DECnet stack for Linux, but it exists, people use it, and therefore we will be merging it for the next tree. Right, the second one is better network file system support. Until recently, the network file system that Sun invented was relatively slow. It's even slower on Linux, perhaps, than it should be. Some platforms now, Solaris, IBM, AIX, and very soon on most others, support a thing called NFS version 3, which is NFS, and this time we fixed the problems. It's much faster, and it'll be important for Linux to support this, because on a 100 megabit network, the existing NFS doesn't really scale. Partly it's a Linux issue. In general, it's a whole design issue. There are fundamental errors in the design of NFS. NFS version 3 solves those, so Linux needs to support it. The i2o architecture is something probably only database people will care about. If anyone's familiar with big IBM mainframes, then you've come across the idea that all of your I.O. is done by other processors. You don't burden your main processor that's running your database and all of the other hard work. You don't actually let that do things like disk I.O. and networking and rubbish like that. The idea is you have other processors which you talk with. Instead of you going, move the disk head to there, count 11 sectors, put this block of data somewhere, you simply talk to this other controller and say, I'd like this list of disk blocks, put them there, and we're done. Okay. The final ones there I've already covered. Universal serial bus is becoming important. There will soon be PCs with nothing but universal serial bus. Very, very cheap PCs. And NGIO, I think we'll have to leave. That slide, I think, speaks for itself. So if you want to get involved, some suggestions. Okay, are there any questions? We don't know. Netscape, when they did the Mozilla work, tried to get an estimate, and what they did is there is an estimate that a programmer writes 10 lines of debugged code a day, an average programmer. And on the basis that the kernel had grown between 2.0 and their sample point, they reckoned that Linux was the equivalent of about 100 full-time programmers. That's just the kernel. The benchmark for that, by the way, is Linux grows by one line every 2 minutes. Okay, any more? HP have a very, very commercial interest in Linux. I actually asked HP in the UK before they made the announcement yesterday, quite a bit before. HP got into Linux very simply because there are a lot of HP customers using Linux. A lot of them wanted to be able to buy Linux support through Hewlett-Packard. They did the numbers and it made commercial sense. HP are now also providing hardware, documentation, and help importing Linux to the HP PA, the PA RISC machines. And they're working quite actively on that. IBM I don't know about. IBM is only notionally one. I talk to various bits of IBM and I hear different stories from each. Certainly there is some interest in Linux from bits of IBM, including pieces that previously were very anti-Linux and appear to have been given a kick from on high and told, you will work with Linux people. But the full story on IBM I don't know. Well, we have actually started inventing new things. Linux is based on Unix, but if you look at Unix, Unix is not a stationary platform. If you look at Unix in the early 1980s, it is very different to Unix now. Unix has survived 30 years because it's like the English language, it's never afraid to borrow useful things from anybody else.
Thank you for a very informative lecture, Alan. And also, in case Alan and Bruce will leave now this room because of language problems, then I would like the opportunity and thank you also, Bruce, and you both for a very, very interesting and very enjoyable presentations. Thank you both.
And I'd like to say thanks to all the people who brought us here, the nutters who drove us around mountains in very large four-wheel jeeps. We've had a great time. Thanks a lot.
I want to repeat that. It's our pleasure to be here, and I'll just remember this for the rest of my life. And I owe it to you guys. Thank you.